Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Let's start the week off right with an awesome trip report. We're headed over to the United Kingdom for an international Disney adventure. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends from thewisdomofwalt.com. Put Walt to work for you. Walt Disney never stopped dreaming about the future, and neither should you. Learn how you can use Walt Disney's Final Dream of Epcot, the experimental prototype community of tomorrow, to see your own dreams come true. In Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes challenges you to transform your life by applying the lessons that Walt Disney, Disneyland, Walt Disney World, and Epcot teach us. Grab this great new book. It's the second in the series. You got The Wisdom of Walt and now Beyond the Wisdom of Walt. So get inspired, pick up a good read, and drop by thewisdomofwalt.com today. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. It's your insurance policy against the crowds. It helps you to have a better vacation each and every time. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1249 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you and a very special happy Veterans Day to all those folks who have served in the armed services here in the United States. We appreciate all of your sacrifices that not only you have made for our country, but also your families as well. You are the best among us, and hopefully you have a great Veterans Day. But thank you to you for your service from all of us here at the Be Our Guest podcast. We're starting the week the right way, talking Disney. That's what we do, and it's Trip Report Monday, as always. And we never went over to the UK until a couple of weeks ago, and now we're going right back across the pond. We're speaking with my good friend Anthony from the north of England there in the UK. How's it going, Anthony?
Very well indeed, Mike. Very well indeed.
I love that we have you here on the show, and I want to, again, like I told Mark a couple weeks back, thank you for staying up so very late to speak with us today.
Yeah, definitely burning the midnight oil this evening.
Sorry about that. Being in the central time zone stinks when we're trying to talk to folks in Europe, but we'll make it happen. So let's talk about your trip. Obviously, coming over from the UK, a lot different than traveling from the Midwest or the South or even from the West Coast of the United States. What's that all about? What's the feel in the United Kingdom? Because so many people do travel to Central Florida and specifically Walt Disney World from England. So where does that all come from?
There's definitely some big differences. I think one of the big things is that a lot of people, when they go to Disney, it's a bit of a once-in-a-lifetime trip. So you kind of have your mindset that I'm just going to go once, I'm going to go big and kind of make the most of it, and you might not come back. That was what we said ourselves a few years ago. We said we'd just go for one time and that would be it. I'd been as a kid, so I'd kind of the nostalgia side of things. We booked that one trip, and then a year later we went again, and then a couple of years later we've been again. So yeah, so our most recent trip in May. So definitely some like different considerations, because you're going for a long time. So people typically go for 2 weeks. You're spending a lot of money, the flights are quite expensive, so you kind of really want to make the most of it in terms of your planning and things like that. So it's kind of a lot to think about and just make sure you make the most of it.
So let me ask you this. I asked this to Mark a couple weeks back, and I'm really curious about this, getting different perspectives on this, but what's Disney like in the culture there, in the everyday, life over in the UK? Because obviously it's an American thing, but is it something that most people in the UK are aware of and are very, embrace the product with Disney like we do?
Definitely. It's definitely got sort of a big place in a lot of people's hearts, I think, especially if you've got kids, of course. But I find that whilst the films, a lot of people, no matter what age you are, go see the films and know about those. I still think there's some sort of maybe misconceptions about going to Disney. I think they still imagine it particularly Disney World, they still think of it as just one park. They just think it's, you know, just the castle, and that's the kind of what you do. So if you say, I'm going on holiday to Disney, they think that you just go into a theme park for 2 weeks. So there's definitely a misconception in terms of going on a holiday and what that means and all the different things it involves. They just don't quite understand that there's so much more that you can do. And a thing that I always try and tell people as well is around the food side of things, because I think everyone just thinks it's like burgers and fries and it's not that great. But to me, that's one of the best things about going, particularly going as an adult, is kind of enjoying eating out, having really great drinks, going to the nice bars and different things like that. So I think that's definitely a sort of big misconception in the UK that people have.
Yeah, you and me too. We get that, you know, the teachers that I taught with for years, they thought, you know, if we're going to Walt Disney World, they just thought it was the Magic Kingdom. You know, one theme park, maybe a hotel, and that's it. So that's common here too, so that's interesting. And you mentioned the food, and we were talking before we started recording. My dad, of course, works for the Los Angeles Rams now doing radio, and he's in London with the NFL right now as we speak, and I looked on Facebook. Speaking of good food, all the great food in the UK you could go to. My dad went to McDonald's today. What a shame. Killing me.
It really is. He needs to find a good pub.
He's not really the pub type guy, but he is doing some broadcasts from some pubs. So he'll be there for work purposes only, I'm sure. But anyway, let's get back to your trip. So you went down this past May. So walk us through the planning of this trip, because planning is probably somewhat similar to what we do here in the States, but somewhat different because you have, you know, longer flights, you probably have less options. What's that like initially planning a trip?
Yeah, so I would probably start us off by saying I'm a big planner, so I definitely like to do a lot of planning, especially because, you know, with these holidays from the UK, you're spending a lot of money. You know, it's a big sort of chunk of your salary, so it's really important. So yeah, big planner. I get my Excel spreadsheets out pretty early on. Definitely one of those people who are booking the ADRs 180 days and just sort of on it in that respect. Flights tend to be early in the morning, so you kind of tend to get to Florida sort of mid-afternoon because the time difference kind of works in your favor. So it's all a matter of trying to stay up as late as you can. So on our latest trip, we just tried to, when we got to Animal Kingdom Lodge, which is where we stayed, we tried to, you know, stay up and watch the movie by the pool just to try and kind of get into the time zone as quickly as you can. The good thing is, because the time zone works in your favor, it means that you're waking up early, so you can kind of plan to kind of get to the parks early as well, which is good. But yeah, it's all about, yeah, having the spreadsheet, kind of having a rough idea. Again, going back to food, that's a big thing for me and my wife. So trying to get the best places to eat. And as well, I'm a big fan of fireworks and the sort of nighttime stuff. So a lot of the planning is around the food as much as anything. So that's kind of where we start. And it kind of all builds around there.
Sounds good. So let me ask you this. You guys come over, obviously, a lot of folks from you know, the UK and Europe travel over for usually about 2 weeks. You know, they call it the old fortnight here. You know, we call that. So how does that determine your lodging? Like, do you ever do split stays? Because you've been multiple times. Or do you like setting up and staying for 2 weeks in one resort?
No, we definitely like sort of setting up and sort of staying in one place. And the way, particularly in the UK, the way the deals work, so how you get your sort of special offers, it tends to kind of force you into doing that as well. So it kind of works out that way as well. So in the UK, you tend to get free dining, which obviously affects things. So yeah, you get your free dining included if you book for that sort of 2 weeks in one place. So yeah, that's sort of a big part of it, to be honest.
So I know that Animal Kingdom Lodge is very high up on my list of Walt Disney World resorts just because it is such an exotic place to me. You know, you have the animals, the place itself, the building feels like something you may encounter in Africa. So, but I've stayed there for 4 or 5 nights, but never for a length of time like you stayed there. So what is it like basically setting up residence in a place as exotic and as beautiful as Animal Kingdom Lodge?
I think, yeah, what's really interesting with that is that you, I can just remember the first day when you arrive and you walk into the, in the lobby, and you kind of can't quite get your head around that you're going to be staying there. You certainly can't imagine that you're going to be staying there for a couple of weeks. because it really is, you know, breathtaking when you walk in there. And then we walked, we hadn't booked a Savannah View room, but we were very lucky that we had a kind of what they call a partial view room. But as soon as we walked in there, there were sort of giraffes just outside the balcony, you know, as if they'd kind of staged it. So they were there waiting for us. So yeah, really lucky. And then you kind of, you know, it takes your breath away. It really does. And you kind of think, you know, you're going to get used to this. But even 2 weeks later, you still can't quite get your head around the fact that you can just sit on your balcony and that there's, you know, there's animals there. And it's, yeah, it's just incredible. I think what's interesting is, so our previous stays have been at Port Orleans Riverside. And we absolutely love Port Orleans Riverside. I think it's absolutely brilliant resort. It's really beautiful. I actually really like the, obviously it's kind of quite spread out, but I actually quite like the walk that you take every morning to kind of get, you know, walking across the bridge and sort of seeing the Sasagula River. So yeah, I kind of have a lot of, you know, a lot of love for that resort. So it was a nice change to go to the Animal Kingdom Lodge. I must admit, if I was, you know, next time we book, I'd be very tempted to go back to Port Orleans Riverside, just because it's different if you're setting up for 2 weeks, because it feels a bit, to us, it felt a bit more homely. It felt a bit more sort of settled, like this is our home. We can kind of relax a little bit more. Whilst, you know, Animal Kingdom Lodge is fantastic and I really strongly recommend it, it felt a little bit more formal, a little bit more, you know, it's a bit more upscale, and that does affect your holiday a little bit. The good thing, again, coming from the UK and the sort of deals that you can get is with Port Orleans Riverside, you'll tend to get free dining, just a quick service dining, whereas with Animal Kingdom Lodge, you'll get the obviously just the regular dining plan, so you get your sit-down meals as well. That means that the cost difference, if you're going to upgrade anyway, this is my Disney maths here, if you're going to upgrade anywhere anyway with a to the sort of full dining plan anyway, you might as well, like, the cost difference between Port Orleans Riverside and Animal Kingdom Lodge is too different. So I guess we're very lucky in that we can kind of choose between the two and kind of enjoy both. So really great experience though for both.
Let me just give you a tip, just something to think about. And if anybody else is in the same predicament in the future, you know, it sounds like you really enjoyed Animal Kingdom Lodge, but really enjoyed Port Orleans Riverside, and kind of talking about the price differential. I think a sweet spot for you, just to try something totally new, but not break the bank, try Wilderness Lodge if it comes up next time. It feels very homey. It feels very much like Animal Kingdom Lodge, but just, you know, you're closer to the Magic Kingdom right there. You got the boat ride over, and it's a place I think you would enjoy. If you like both of those other two resorts, I think you'd be right at home at Wilderness Lodge too.
Yeah, it's definitely on the bucket list.
Okay, just trying to offer some advice. So now, did you take advantage of, you mentioned dining, and Animal Kingdom Lodge obviously has some outstanding dining with Sanaa and Jiko and Boma and even the Mara, you know, the fast food. So did you take advantage of that over the couple of weeks?
Definitely. Yeah, I could literally talk for hours and hours about the food at Disney. But our favorite places that we dined at, Jiko was definitely up there in terms of one of the best experiences we had. We basically got a reservation that day. So obviously a lot of our reservations were booked, you know, months in advance, but that we just sort of just decided to do at the last minute. And was just so surprised by just the food, the level of the service. It's obviously very unusual. So I'm quite adventurous in terms of stuff that I like. So it was perfect for that. Really, really strongly recommend Jiko to anyone. And the fact that it's just in your hotel and you can just nip down, you know, have a drink at Victoria Falls beforehand. We didn't make it to Sanaa on this trip, but we did the previous trip. And again, can't recommend that strongly enough in terms of the views of the animals, the fact that you've got that amazing bread service. And I think just at both restaurants that the people who were, yeah, the waiters were just fantastic.
So walk me through some of your favorites, because you sound like a big foodie and you know, like to try new things, more exotic flavors. So maybe three or four of your best dining experiences that you had over those 2 weeks.
Yeah, so I think after GECO, we went to Flying Fish. So I remember we went there a few years ago, and obviously it's been renovated since. And I thought, to me, it had improved. It got even better. It just felt a bit more special. It felt a bit more of a night out. Just some really unusual choices. I think I had the duck with the pierogi, which were fantastic. I kind of had the wine flight as well. So if there's ever a sort of wine flight, margarita flight, anything like that, which you get quite a lot at Disney these days, I'm all over that. We did a lot of sort of extra stuff in terms of dining as well. So yes, we had the sort of dining plan, so it meant we sort of ate at places like Ohana, Skipper Canteen and Boathouse. You know, I can recommend all those, but I think some of the ones that stood out were the Narcozy's Brunch, which, just to kind of go through that really quickly, it kind of get a four-course menu for brunch, which sounds great in itself. You get bottomless drinks, so you get like Prosecco and things like that. Even though it's four courses, all those four courses are unlimited, so you can you have a few different selections, but you can just order another one after you've had it. So there's more food than you could ever possibly eat. To the point where, so we ate that probably about 10 a.m., 11 a.m. We couldn't eat again until about 9 o'clock that evening. Like, there was just so much food. So it might seem like quite pricey, but I think there's good value there if you sort of make the most of it. So I'd really, really recommend that. And again, it just, you know, you're there near the water, like sat at the water, you can see the Magic Kingdom from it. It just felt really special. Like, a really, you know, it's a Sunday as well. So yeah, I'd really recommend that. We did some of the sort of dessert parties and things as well. So the Star Wars dessert party, we've done sort of one iteration, and we've done the more recent one on our last trip, where it's now held in the launch bay. That's kind of one of our favourite ones, because we did the sparkling one for Epcot as well. The dessert party for Star Wars is just fantastic. You've got stormtroopers wandering around. They lead you to the kind of the special place. The drinks are really fun. They've got this kind of freeze-dried Nutella thing that they do. So the desserts are just really quirky. Everyone's kind of just up for a laugh. I'd really recommend that. And I guess the other thing as well is, it was dining with an Imagineer. So we did that at the Hollywood Brown Derby. And obviously it's incredibly special because you're doing the, you're speaking to an Imagineer and you're hearing all these different stories. And we were lucky to speak to someone who'd been working on Avatar Land, or whatever the official name of it is. We sort of hearing a few little things about that. But the food was also brilliant. So you get kind of some of the things that the Hollywood Brown Derby is known for. So you get like the Cobb salad, and you get like a kind of trio of desserts as well. So I think sort of grapefruit cake. You get this amazing experience of sort of hearing all these interesting stories, but the food's also brilliant. You're kind of in this private dining room just off to the side. So, you know, you're in this really busy theme park, but it feels like you could be, you know, somewhere completely, completely different. So, I think those are our highlights, certainly in terms of the food.
Those are definitely highlights, though. Those are some of the best, you know, not only dining, but just experiences, you know, not only, you know, having a meal, but having an experience with the fireworks and stuff like that. I love hearing about that. Now, I know that you planned on doing the Highway in the Sky. Did you have a chance to do that on this trip?
Yes. Sorry. Yeah, I completely forgot about that. I can't believe I did forget about that. Yes, we did. Now, so I'll kind of go through the positives first and what we liked about it, but I definitely, there's a bit of a caveat on that, I think. Just in case people are aware, you know, it's this progressive meal where you meet at the Contemporary, you kind of have a little starter, kind of introductions and drinks. You then move on to the Polynesian for a couple more starters. When we did it, it was sort of set up inside in the lobby. We then moved on to the Grand Floridian, where in the sort of tea room area, we had sort of charcuterie and cheeses. And then you move up to, I can't remember the name of the restaurant now, but you move into one of the restaurants and have a sort of main course there. And then you move on back to Contemporary for desserts on a balcony that overlooks Magic Kingdom. So you can watch the fireworks and sort of have a coffee and things. So it is, you know, it's an incredible experience. It's something that you know, you certainly don't do every day. It's quite a hefty price tag with it. I think we sort of went into it thinking it would be quite romantic and quite sort of just be the two of us, and we kind of had this opportunity to do that sort of thing. It's very social. It's very you're going to be talking to a lot of people. You're going to be mixing with a lot of people. So if you want a romantic night, just the two of you, this isn't the thing for you. Personally, I really enjoyed it because you're talking with a lot of Disney nuts about Disney, and you can find it loads of interesting things. So I really enjoyed it from that perspective. But I certainly would just warn people if it was sort of for an anniversary, you're not going to kind of get time just the two of you. So you'll be sort of sat on, you know, put on tables with sort of lots of people, which is great, you know, from my perspective, because everyone was really great in our group. It's really cool that you get to kind of have your own train of the monorail. So they'll kind of whisk you directly into your own sort of cabin, and you kind of get priority, which is quite fun and sort of certainly quite original. The only other sort of thing that would sort of you definitely need to think about is if that it was kind of coming to the end of Wishes. So I think Wishes is about to finish. In fact, the last night of our trip, Wishes ended. We found that we were kind of really looking forward to the fireworks aspect of it, you know, because you get this, you know, getting this sort of view on this balcony, and it's just you and, you know, everyone else in the party. They didn't pipe the music through. So you kind of had this alternative modern jazz being piped through during Wishes, which seemed a little strange to me personally. I don't know if they've changed this since, but it just seemed a little strange. So it didn't quite have the same atmosphere. I would still recommend it. The food alone is brilliant, especially if you want to kind of meet some people and socialize and kind of just anything with a monorail, you know, is brilliant. But yeah, if you're wanting the best view of Wishes or a romantic night, it may be not quite the right thing for you. But yeah, it's certainly, yeah, again, kind of once in a lifetime kind of thing.
That's a great review, though, because there are positives and negatives, and I like it. Almost sounds like the cruise experience on Disney Cruise Line, because dining with Disney Cruise Line is very social, because for the most part, you're sharing tables with folks and, you know, you're sharing your experiences, which I'm like you, I really enjoy that. But you're right. I mean, it's probably not the most romantic thing. You know, like it's more, you're more wanting to go to California Grill or something for a romantic meal, I'm guessing, you know, to have a table like that. So now, before we get too far here, we haven't really talked about the parks and your touring. One of the unique things you did on your previous trip was you did four parks in one day, and you revisited that on this trip in May. So obviously lessons learned the first time around. So what would you tell somebody right now who is considering I do that every year. I call it the marathon. That's my four parks in a day. That's it. So what would you tell somebody about this experience now that you've done it at least twice?
Yeah. So, part of the reason we sort of do it is particularly when it gets to the end of the trip, and obviously you're pretty sad to go. You don't want to leave. It's, you've kind of made home there. You've been there for a couple of weeks, and obviously Disney make it feel like home. So you don't want to be kind of wallowing or feeling sad on the kind of end of your trip. So it's actually quite a nice thing to do. I know some people may want to relax, but we were kind of the, let's just try and distract ourselves from the fact that we were leaving, and we'll do this. So it's definitely doable. Don't try and do too many rides. You obviously need to make the most of the extra magic hours. So you kind of want to plan it around that. And obviously you want to end up in a park which has got obviously longer later hours, so that's pretty straightforward. We still managed a little break, so we tried to get three of the parks done, have a little break, had a quick swim before we headed back out. It's very doable. We weren't using sort of any particular kind of transport or anything like that beyond the buses, so we're just using the buses. Just try not to do too much in each one. So just pick, you know, I really want to do this. Don't book fast passes for the first park. Just make the most of extra magic hours. In fact, if you were to use it, I think we tend to use it for Hollywood Studios, just because there's fewer rides there. That's where your biggest sort of risk is. And just try and, you know, kind of get Star Tours, Hollywood Tower and maybe Toy Story Mania, get those sort of out the way, and then again try and use your rolling fast pass. Because just a big believer of just really utilizing your fast passes, not just on that day but every day. So it's, you know, as soon as you, I don't want it to be kind of, you'd be driven and for it to take over your trip, but certainly if you're in a, as soon as you get in the queue and you've tapped in with your magic band, just, you know, be ready for to kind of make your next fast pass if you can. You know, you can even at the position where if you've got a 9 o'clock fast pass and you've tapped in and you've got a 10 o'clock fast pass, there's no reason. I've certainly had a few times where I've been able to move the 10 o'clock one earlier. So actually, you can kind of get through a few, you know, you might think, oh, I've got to wait till 11 before I can sort of, you know, use them all up and use the next one. But you can sort of move them along if you've got that availability. It's not always as effective if it's a really, obviously, busy period. But certainly when we were there in May, when we've been there in September, there's always fast passes popping up and kind of getting that availability. So I know sometimes people think if they've not booked it, you know, in that 60-day, 30-day window, they're not going to get it. But fast passes appear all the time. People are always cancelling and moving things around. So that's a big tip I'd give to anyone. Don't just sort of just think they're gone and you'll never get one. You can get some really good fast passes, and the same with restaurants as well, if you just sort of persevere a little bit. Obviously, again, you don't want it to take over your trip. You don't want it to kind of, you just, that's all you're doing, just checking your phone all the time. But certainly if you're trying to do four parks in one day, it's certainly a thing that you can sort of utilize. And yeah, just enjoy it. It's just the big thing, is not try and like sort of kill yourself over it. And yeah, just enjoy it. The other thing that we learned, again, not just about doing the four parks thing, but would probably help a bit more. Again, you don't necessarily need to do this, is we used Uber a lot more on this trip. Just for doing things like even going from Animal Kingdom Lodge to Blizzard Beach. So that's like, you have to take two buses to get there, whereas an Uber just takes, you know, it takes 5 minutes. It's really cheap. Even for, you know, going to the park that will not be named, we used Uber for that and found it to be cheaper than even using a shuttle. So definitely utilize Uber. There wasn't minivans when we went, so I'm not sure how effective that would be for people. But yeah, definitely make the most of Uber. We had some great experiences, met some really nice people who were the drivers. So yeah, make the most of that as well.
That's why I love the show. Those were just like five great tips right there. I mean, about just, you know, keep checking for availability with those fast passes. Don't kill yourself, you know, have fun. And I like how you decided to put that on the end of a long vacation where, is, you know, you start counting down, you know, all of a sudden, oh my gosh, we only have 5 days to go. We only have 3 days to go. You know what? Instead of focusing on that, like you said, you're looking forward to like a big challenge or a big event. And I like that mindset. That's a great idea to give yourself. You know, I've always encouraged people, and I've done this myself a couple of times, not every trip, but, you know, I might do a one night stay at a deluxe resort the last night. You know what? Because instead of focusing on, oh man, we only have like 3 days to go, what I'm saying is like in a couple days, we get to spend a whole day at Beach Club. So I think there's something to be said for your mindset, because we all love Disney so much, we just don't want to go home.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And the other thing I would say is wear comfortable shoes, because it is a lot of walking. It's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of walking.
And I love Uber too, because you're right. I mean, you know, sometimes you're dropping $7 or $8, but, you know, time's money. Would you rather do that or waste an hour, you know, taking two buses? So think about that too.
Yeah, definitely. And especially if it's those, some of the meals I've talked about. So we've, our anniversary is it, our wedding anniversary is in May. So for two of the trips, we've been at Disney. So we had like one at California Grill, obviously a later reservation so we can watch the fireworks. And then another was at Monsieur Paul as well. And it, again, we just were like, well, it's a special occasion, so let's not get the bus, let's get an Uber. So for the last trip, we got an Uber to Beach Club. And so we obviously could, you know, take a few pictures on the beach and kind of casually walk into Epcot and have a drink, because it was the Flower and Garden Festival, so there's lots of stalls and stuff going on. So it's kind of like a casual sort of start to the meal. So especially if it's a special occasion, it just kind of makes things a bit easier and a bit more fun.
And they're so plentiful and cheap. So, you know, I'm a huge advocate of Uber. You know, at least to have there as a backup. You know, just Sometimes you just want to get there and don't have to worry about it. And, you know, even other times we've used it just to stay out of the rain because, you know, we were stuck at Old Key West one time. They picked us up right at our villa, you know, instead of having to walk all the way down to the bus stop, which was pretty far from our villa. They picked us up right at the villa and dropped us off under the overhang at the Polynesian. Never had to be in the rain, you know, and that was a great, you know, $12 or whatever, you know, to not get soaked. So, you know, you just got to be creative and see how you use your Ubers, use your buses and all that stuff. Let me ask you one other thing. Just, you know, I'm curious about this. So what are some of your favorite attractions in your wives? Like if you had a top three as far as attractions, like you said, you mentioned you like the nighttime activities, the fireworks, but what are some of your favorites?
So like I say, to me, the fireworks are some of the best things. Obviously we just love Fantasmic, the Star Wars fireworks, incredible. But if we're thinking more about the actual attractions, I love the, Hollywood Tower of Terror. I just think it's just perfect. And we were talking to the Imagineer and we did the dining with the Imagineer. And he was kind of telling us about how obviously everything's put there, you know, on purpose, and how even the dust that's there, that's obviously not just, you know, they're not just been cleaning, is the fact that they purposely put all the dust there and the cobwebs and stuff. And he gave an example as well of when, I think it was when they were doing Castaway Key, and there was sort of sand that they put in some of the toilets on purpose to kind of, you know, add that kind of feel to it. And the cleaners like cleaned all the sand up, even though they kind of purposely put it there. But anyway, sorry, I kind of digressed a bit. I love that just because it's so immersive and the queue's brilliant and it's just such kind of great experience. There's some of the ones that, I still kind of have that nostalgia for. So, I just love Splash Mountain. On our first trip, we didn't even go on it for some reason, and I've no idea why. And we kind of went on that on our last trip on the for the last time, like the last night. And that's after we'd kind of had a few drinks at Trader Sam's. So not that I'm recommending that you have a few drinks and go on rides, but it certainly kind of added the experience. So that's certainly great. And then me and my wife, our favourite one, I think, hands down, is Toy Story Mania. Because you can never get bored of it. There's a competition element, which is brilliant. It's got a great queue. We can kind of go on again and again. You're always going to kind of see who wins. And it's just so much fun, and the kind of the adrenaline goes. And again, just, I guess, a bit of a tip on that. We've noticed on the last trip that if you can get to like kind of rope drop and get on Toy Story Mania, you can go through that ride sort of three or four times without having to queue for very long at all. Now they've opened the third queue. So yeah, definitely sort of one to kind of make the most of. Just absolutely love Toy Story Mania.
I'm right with you though with those attractions and the fireworks and the nighttime activities. That's right up my alley too. We get along very well, so we gotta get down there at the same time. Let me close this out, because there's something I want to ask you, because you're there for such a long time. And you want to not only see, like you said, you not only want to see Walt Disney World, but you want to take advantage of kind of everything Central Florida may have to offer. And I noticed you guys went over to the Kennedy Space Center on your previous trip. You went to Universal. So how is that? I mean, is that something that's a challenge, like to get all the way over to the Space Coast? Was it worth it to you to travel all the way over to the East Coast of Florida to see the Kennedy Space Center? I mean, what do you think? Is it recommended for somebody to do stuff like that?
I guess it all depends on who you are, because from our perspective, we're staying at a Disney resort and we want to make the most of that, and we don't want to be leaving it too much. We like being in the bubble. I remember the day when we went to Kennedy Space Center, and it's really, you know, really, there's loads of tours, and because we tend not to rent a car, we tend to or hire a car, we tend to just sort of get transfers or coach transfers. So we, you're kind of leaving the bubble, and which is quite nice to do, purely from the fact that when you come back, you just appreciate it all over again. So when you kind of come back to Port Orleans and Rosario, you come back to Animal Kingdom Lodge, and everything's perfect again, it's kind of quite a nice feeling. So sometimes it's nice just to leave to come back again. But yeah, Kennedy Space Center is just phenomenal. So to me, that's just something you kind of have to do. But I do think if you're kind of staying at Disney, try not to plan too much outside of Disney World, because there's so much there, so many things you don't need to actually pay any more money for. So, you know, the things like the movies under the stars, just having a walk on the boardwalk, or you know, whatever it might be. There's so many kind of cost-effective things to do and fun things to do, or just, you know, resort hopping and kind of looking at the different hotels. So my personal view is that, yes, it's great to kind of get out and, you know, you don't want to miss out on Universal. That's sort of, it's a great day. You know, the Harry Potter stuff is brilliant and they keep adding new rides. But on the whole, we tried to kind of not, you know, go too far away. We don't want to kind of spend too much time away just because there's so much to do. I sort of feel like you could do a whole separate holiday for that, and maybe we'll do that one day. So yeah, I think it's trying to get the balance, but for us, the balance is more towards staying at Disney and making the most of that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. But, you know, the weird thing for me about, especially visiting Kennedy Space Center when you're in the middle of a Walt Disney World vacation, is that Walt Disney World is this ideal bubble, like you said. I mean, it's all, you know, anything can happen, dreams come true and all this. And then you go over to Kennedy Space Center, and it's all reality, but so much of that stuff still, to me, almost seems magical. You know, you're seeing space shuttles that, you know, Atlantis is there, and this thing flew in space multiple times, has traveled millions of miles around the Earth in space, you know, and you read about the astronauts who made the voyage to the moon, and it's like this dichotomy. You know, you have make-believe at Walt Disney World, and then you have some of the most unbelievable true stories over at Kennedy Space Center. I mean, did you kind of feel that?
Definitely. But at the same, like you say, at the same time, it's quite complimentary. It's kind of if you're going to go somewhere alongside your Disney trip, it's quite good because you've got that inspiration. There are a few attractions, actually, the sort of things you can do. So obviously you've got the kind of IMAX, and you can look at the rockets, and there's still a few Disney-esque touches in there. They've even got the simulator that you can go on. The one thing I would say is you go on the sort of launch simulator. You know, it's just quite impressive. But when you come out of it, you're sort of like, well, Mission Space is more extreme than that. You're kind of like, that's kind of more exhilarating, and to me felt like a bigger thing. But to me, it's kind of complimentary. The thing about Disney is, especially somewhere like Epcot or Animal Kingdom, it is, to a certain extent, it's fantasy, but it's fantasy that's based in reality and trying to, you know, teach you and tell you about things. And Kennedy Space Center is very similar in that it's reality, but it's also trying to inspire you and make you sort of feel a certain way. So I think it's kind of quite, definitely very complimentary.
Yeah, both are the home of dreamers. You know, I think they could both, you know, ascribe to the philosophy of if you can dream it, you can do it. You know, I think that's kind of, you could say that for both destinations. So I think that's a great place to wrap up. Boy, it's been a lot of fun talking about your trip. Thanks so much, Anthony, for staying up late with us to get this one recorded, and hope to see you down at Walt Disney World sometime.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks very much, Mike.
All right. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at The Wisdom of Walt. And now you have a new book, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt. It's all about Walt Disney World, especially Epcot, Walt Disney's dreams he's left us, and, you know, lessons to be applied to our lives. So you need a good read. Drop by thewisdomofwalt.com today. Pick up your copy and get a personally signed copy from author Jeff Barnes, or just go on Amazon. You can pick up any kind of, you know, ebook, audio version, whatever you like. Again, check out Beyond the Wisdom of Walt. And don't forget our friends over at touringplans.com. They're going to keep you out of lines and see the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal Vacation. Check them out today. All the great services they offer over at touringplans.com. Don't forget, as you start doing that holiday shopping, it is just around the corner. Black Friday's in just a couple of weeks. Please do your online shopping with our Amazon affiliate link at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It helps the show more than you probably realize. We appreciate that so much. It's a great way for us to invest in the show without asking you to, you know, send donations or give us any money, anything like that. It just, Amazon helps us out. So when you do that online shopping, please do use our link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We appreciate that so very much. Don't forget, you can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at brguestmike, and drop by our Facebook group at facebook.com/beourguestpodcast. All right, time to sign off here until Wednesday, where we'll be back together answering your listener questions. So for Anthony, way over in the UK in the middle of the night, I'm Mike here in a comfortable time zone. It's not too late here as we're recording. I appreciate your time. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Have a great week, but it's time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.